Our next speaker, I assume, is here. Yes, great. Okay. Amar Enes from Columbia University.
About 2 minutes before the end of your talk, I'll kind of wave unless you finish recording.
Yes. Do you have... Hello. Thank you for coming. So I would like to present to you our work on, this time, downscaling seasonal climate forecast. I would like to acknowledge my co-author, Yunjin Han, my postdoc at Columbia, and I moved also at Michigan State 8 months ago. So the outline of the talk, I would like to give you a briefer about why we are doing this by defining what climate risk management is and what probabilistic seasonal climate forecasts are. And then I will introduce to you two downscaling methods that we've been working on. One is parametric, that is based on conditional weather generator, and the other one is non-parametric, which is based on conditional bootstrap, and present to you a simple case study and some preliminary conclusions. So, usually, we tend to make our decisions based on the average. On the average, we do this. On the average, we do that. Imagine this is the climatology of a region. In this case, seasonal rainfall. And this is 30 years of data. How many times did you see that average occur in the span of 30 years? Probably none or near one or two. But in reality, you can have a very low probability of having an average occurring within that, in a time horizon. So if you base your decision based on the average, when the season is so bad, you expose your system to probable risk. And when the season is so good, you miss the opportunities of capitalizing on the good climate. But the thing is, our decision is usually in the future, and there's no data in the future, so we should have, if we have the capability to predict what would be in the future, then we have a hand to tackle this recent uncertainty in this case. And seasonal climate forecast, if it is skillful, can be very useful in this case. So the skill of seasonal forecast also depends on season and geographic location. So, what is a seasonal climate forecast? So, at IRI, they define seasonal climate forecast as a shifted climatology. In this case, you are looking at the marginal distribution of seasonal rainfall. And then you can see that climatology is the black line, which is basically 33% below normal, 33% near normal, 33% above normal. And when they produce a forecast, it's either shift to the right or to the left. And then you calculate the shaded probabilities within those categories, and that will be your forecast for that particular season. In this case, it is a very, it's a higher tendency to the higher category because it is 15% below this area, 32% near, 50% above. So, IRI is producing this information regularly, updated every month, and at the time scale, time horizon of season, in this case, 3 months. And this is an example of the Philippines, Southeast Asia. If you click here in the Philippines, you can have those probabilities. And you can have a geographical view of what would be the expected seasonal forecast for that particular season. And then those are in probabilistic information. So if we have skill in that region, in that season, how can we use this information for our decision-making process, for our planning? These are probabilities. If you use crop model, hydrological model, you need at least daily values of weather variables to run your crop simulation models. That is the object of my talk today. So I would like to present to you two methods that we've been working on. One is a simpler method. We call it effort sampler. And the other one is a more complex method based on stochastic weather generator. And these methods are both conditional on the forecast. So the effort sampler is just a bootstrapping method. So if you have 30 years of data, you categorize your data for three categories. And then based on those pools, you bootstrap them conditional on the probability of that particular category. So in this case, if I have a forecast of dry, tendency to dry, below normal, near normal, above normal, 70, 20, 70, I draw 70 times from the below normal category, 20 times from the near normal, and 10 times from the above. And then I produce a shifted climatology, which is my dry forecast. Likewise with the weather generator, conditional weather generator, what we do is we downscale every percentile of the forecast. First, we develop the shifted probabilities, shifted CDFs, and then we downscale the rainfall in this case. So both of these methods produce daily values of rainfall. Since this is the bootstrap is block sampling, we produce rainfall, temperature, solar radiation. This is a stochastic weather generator with rainfall and non-rainfall variables, so we produce at least the minimum data set that you will need to run a crop model or hydrological model. Philippines has a very complex climate types. In the north, you have unimodal climatology. In the south, you have almost rainy days all the year. And then this is our study area, which is almost rainy. So there's no dry season, so I put it drier season and wetter season, because always wet, right? This figure shows the scale of seasonal rainfall based on some predictors from, in this case, this is from NMME. These are simulated rainfall compared to observed rainfall for that season, and this is from CFSV2. And this is for season June, July, August, September, and this is January, February, March, April. Red means high predictability, high relationship between the predictor and the predictant, and blue means there is so-so or no skill, better use climatology in that case. But the season that we are focusing on is this one. It's bloody red, so there is the potential use of seasonal climate forecast in this season. But you have to be very careful because there is a lot of other sources of climate variability. Okay, so just an example. This is an actual forecast in 2009 for JFMAM, Jan to May, forecast given in December 2008. If you notice, 2009 is a La Nina. The forecast is really, really wet. So this is the climatology of that seasonal rainfall. And this is about 30 years, so you can see the variability historically. And there is a tendency to have an increasing trend for the 30 years of period. So we tested some studies like using effort sampler. We test the sensitivity of number of realization, data volume, meaning number of years, because if you apply it in other areas of the world where you have data scarcity, is 10 years enough, is 15 years enough, 20 years enough, right? And then we do some statistical analysis, and since we expect that non-normality could exist, so we use Mann-Whitney statistics to test if means are the same across groups, or Levine test, or Levine statistics, to test if variances are the same among groups. And then this is the result for using different number of realization, bootstrapping from the original number of data, which is in this case almost 40 years. And you can see that this is the climatology. The forecast tends to be wet, so the forecast shifts to the right side, so wetter condition. And these are the downscaled rainfall from every sampler. Using this forecast, a different number of realization. You can see that based on statistical tests, they seem to be the same. I mean, relative to the blue line. The blue line is the theoretical forecast line. So my bootstrap should be able to represent the blue line. So in this case, it says number of realization based on this set of number of realization tested. The volume actually is more sensitive. And remember, I use 40 years of data, and there are many 10 years combination of 40 years of data. So I assume that the truth is actually the 40 years of data, and I just sample from these sets of 10 years of data, and at different epochs shows that climate variability is really a factor in here, because if you choose the first 10 years, second 10 years, you could produce different realization of your forecast. So you can see also statistical tests here. You can see that the probably the red line, red blue, is accept, Levine and Mann Whitney. Mann Whitney is the means, Levine is the variances. So red line actually is a good representation of the blue line. However, the rest, there are some accept and reject. And among the groups of 10 epochs, they are very, very different. Okay. And how about if I increase my number of data pools and I am, you know, tending to be of the same line with the blue line? This is 20 years and this is 30 years. So at least, I think 20 years is so-so, 30 years is probably good enough. Now, we go to the parametric method. The parametric method is a conditional weather generator. And we tested the same case studies, sensitivity, the number of realization, type of information, because we can translate forecast into rainfall total intensity, frequency, and combinations of this information, sensitivity to data volume, and the test of statistics, either the same means or variances. And then you can, usually what happens in the applications of climate forecast work, they usually downscale the mean of the forecast. So the contribution of this work is using all the information from the distribution of the forecast. And you can see here, if you just use the mean, you are missing some information from the distribution. So if we use the weather conditional weather generator to downscale the forecast, and then we tested the sensitivity of number of realization, you can see that they fare well. I think the minimum number of realization we use here is 30 up to 1,000, and they tend to represent the theoretical forecast. How about what information is better? Either amount, frequency, intensity is okay, but combination of intensity and frequency, if you use to downscale the forecast, seems to be odd in this case. So only this one. It's okay. And in this case, for the number of the data volume, upon visual examination, you see that there is a lot of differences here, but then if you use the statistics test, it shows that they are similar. So I don't know what you believe, what you see or what you test. Okay? But, you know, the point here is longer data set is more stable. So what? Why are we doing this? First of all, it is fun. Fun in doing it. You do all those statistical modeling, but it is needed. Yeah? So the earlier talk said it uses only climatology because there's no forecast. Now, if you have forecast and if it's skillful, how to translate that to be used by your modeling framework? In here, earlier in the growing season, this is actually the result. And as you move in time, you can here, like what Fritz presented, you have observed data from here to there, and then forecast data from there to hence. So, and then you can predict yield as you move in time. So within this time, you have also the opportunity to do changes in your tactical decisions informed by the forecast or strategic decisions before the growing season. So some preliminary conclusions. Generally, it is highly important to use all information coming from the climate forecast, not only the median and the mean, if you are considering risk and uncertainty analysis. Okay, every sampler can downscale probabilistic forecast well. Realization, not so sensitive. Data volume, it is highly sensitive, so better be careful in using short-term data set. Predictability, you have to tailor your method and so on and so forth. So, ability to plan strategic tactical decisions in crop production. We should be careful in communicating forecasts. These are some of the take-home messages, and the use depends on the risk aversions of the user. Lead time accuracy are important. Skill of the forecast method is very important. Thank you.